Chris Bunn. Bill Coy just spoke, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. How did he sneak in here like that? What's that? Ah, yeah, that's right. Okay. Ann Meyer, M-Y-H-R-E, Myrie. Maggie Hall. Is this the same, Bill? Are there two Bill Coys? Yeah, two cards. Okay. All right. Ingrid Warren, Richard Warren, John Snyder, Mike Broadhurst. Didn't we hear from Mike Broadhurst? And Tracy Roberts. Okay.
Yes, my name is Chris Bunn. I represent some family properties up in the Salinas area, out in the Blanco District. And I got a little sense of deja vu coming back here because I was involved in some of that early water quality programs. And I was hearing the same thing about blue babies and people dying of pesticides and DDT contaminations. And it was nice to hear one lady say, and we never heard any data to really support those claims that we have blue babies in the valley and people are dying from pesticides. But it's good to go beyond that. And it looks like the past 5 years really wasn't analyzed too much by the staff. And I'm really sorry because I was hoping to hear of some good results from our work of the last 5 years with thousands of hours of doing those hearings and plans and projects out there, lots of money being spent too. Very concerned too about the scientific support of some of the information presented to us. Concerned also about words like toxicity. Are we talking about people toxicity or toxicity to fleas? Concerned about business of different areas of concern of water contamination. Contaminated wells, are we contaminated above drinking water standard, or is there just some nitrates in those wells? Nitrates are a fact of life. There'll probably always be some nitrates in the wells, but we're trying to get the standard down some more. So it was kind of a loose presentation. I was really, really happy to hear at 3 o'clock we finally got the ag group sharing, and I really hope you listened to what they said. It seemed like a much better presentation and a kind of program we should go with. Thank you.
And Mr. Bunn, when we talk about toxicity, we're talking about toxicity to wildlife, not to humans.
So correct.
It is the water flea.
I understand
it is the
water flea. Yeah, but I'm concerned that word is thrown around about toxicity. When people are talking about it, we need to know are we talking about humans or wildlife? To make sure. Because other people were sharing, it wasn't just your staff, but people were sharing about toxicity.
Okay, but you understand
what we're talking
about.
Correct. No, I understand what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the audience. That's
okay.
All. Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Maggie Hall, and I'm speaking today on behalf of my family's small winery in the Santa Rita Hills. We support the draft staff recommendations for the updated ag order because we feel that the cost of monitoring our water quality is negligible compared to the cost of it continuing to worsen. Requirements of the ag order, such as individual water quality monitoring and retaining riparian vegetation, are not only feasible but also crucial to implement. We irrigate, for example, on our vineyard with water pumped from a private well, and in the surrounding area are other farms whose discharges likely contaminate our surface and groundwater. We rely on the well for not only irrigation, but it's also our only source of drinking water, and we want to see this protected for future generations. Our vineyard is also near a small creek, along which we've maintained about a mile-long stretch of riparian vegetation. This has been not only easy to do, but it has not at all limited the area that we would plant. In fact, the vegetation helps keep the dust down, attracts beneficial insects and wildlife that help control rodent populations. Furthermore, employing sustainable practices in general has worked to our advantage. We market these practices and attract more customers because of them. And I feel that on the Central Coast, if we can market better water quality standards, we'll have more consumers of produce. In the case of our vineyard, it is a good example of how it is feasible for a small ag operation to comply with the order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman Young and members of the board, my name is Ingrid Warren, and I live in the area of Cayugas on a small family farm. I looked through the order, and I felt that the buffers of 50 to 100 feet let alone 1,000 feet from a creek, would impact the viability of the small family farms. Testing fees of $1,600 is unreasonable for a farm, and coupled with the setbacks, would put a lot of small farms out of business. I don't know why we would be required to do all these things when your testing already shows where the problem areas are. If you're going to cut back on all the production in these areas, I'm wondering where you're going to get your food from. You want clean water. Don't you want clean food? Where are you going to go to get it?
Thank you.
My name is John Snyder. My wife and I grow in Napomo. I hope you had a good lunch with the USDA recommended servings of fruits and vegetables, along with a glass of water. We need both. Don't make it impossible to grow. I think the overall regional waiver should be the minimal, and specific requirements should be based on the individual basin management plans and the problems within those specific areas, so that you have a proper nexus between the real problems and real solutions for each specific basin. Secondly, I think you need to consider the California Constitution, Article 10, Section 2, that requires all users of water to put water to maximum use, and I think that also requirement extends to the courts and government agencies. All of the regulations have to have an aspect that allows maximal use of water in the state of California, and I don't see any implementation or consideration of that in the regulations. Any water use results in some kind of degradation of some kind, and therefore you cannot simply eliminate degradation of water and still have the use of water. So there's a constitutional requirement for maximal use that needs to be implemented. And lastly, I think that the staff totally misrepresented the status of the water in the Santa Maria area. There's been an ongoing litigation since 1997. I have a container full of documents, a shipping container, and none of them are consistent with widespread nitrate problems. I'm not saying there's not some nitrate here and there, but every public water producer has been able to meet their requirement to provide water, and nobody, and all the public water producers were in that litigation. None of the water producers presented any evidence at trial that there was a problem with nitrates that prevented them from doing their job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Tracy Roberts, Monterey County Farm Bureau. The board is somewhat familiar with me. I did get to participate with the current ag panel effort that ended sometime at the end of last year. Rather than try to repeat some of what's been said today, I wanted to bring a quote from one of our grower members to try and make my point for me. Farmers are beginning to understand the data analyzed from focusing on new management practices. These results have been positive and only give the farmer more incentive to improve. Without good scientific study and compilation of the results, there would be no positive or negative feedback for the grower to base their practices on. From my experience as a watershed coordinator in Quail Creek and other watersheds, after just 2 short years of receiving cooperative monitoring program data and upstream data, growers began to really take to heart what they were learning. They began to adaptively manage their operations and use the research available to them and the data available to them to make changes. So although what we've heard today is nothing's happening, nothing's changed, on the contrary, there is a lot that is changing. There are fundamental things underway that I believe we will see increasing changes if we stay the course. Those growers continue to make those changes on their operations. And the interesting thing was, out of 100% of the growers in Quail Creek that made changes on their farms, not a single grower made the same change as any other grower, though they're all on the same soil, same properties. I would propose that there is certainly reason to be optimistic, and that if we stay the course, using science as our guide, and allowing growers to have their own confidential information, implement practices and adapt to the changes that are specific and the needs that are specific to their operations, we will see improvement, as we have already seen. I'd like to just close by asking that you significantly reduce the scope of the staff's proposal and look to the ag proposal as a base for a new waiver and really think in terms of a long-term program so we're not back here every 5 years arguing over what has or hasn't occurred. In just 5 short years, we have seen reason for optimism, and I would like to see us stay that course. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Ann Myrie's alter ego, Richard Smith, a grower from her neighborhood in San Ardo up to Soledad. Farm 3,000 acres in Soledad. I'm a member of the Preservation Inc. board, founder of the Vineyard Team program. I've been involved in every farm organization related to my business for the last 30 years. I felt really uncomfortable this morning in that the presentation seemed to be pitting the social community against the farm community. And one comment I would make to all those who made the social justice presentations and had the discussions about nitrate and water, there is a federal regulation, and it is 10 parts per million. And your drinking water should meet that regulation. And your agricultural neighbors are going to do what they can to make sure that no other nitrate issues are continuing to increase. But you've heard there's been a 40 to 60 year problem time frame in the occurrence of the problem, and it may be 50 to 100 years in the creation of solutions. That being said, there is no issue. Agriculture is not intending to poison water for the social community. The other thing is the presentation of a lot of information sounded scientific, but it is not the kind of information that will stand up to peer review. You guys have a lot of responsibility to manage water quality in the Central Coast. Make your staff and make this community, make the agricultural community, give you data and science that will withstand peer review. You have to make good decisions based on science. Emotion and politics is not going to deal us a fair solution. We've got to go with science and law.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Did Mike Broadhurst leave? Okay. All right, next group. Sue Luft, Leroy Scolari, Darren G., Jay Parsons, Frank Allegria, Dan Diaz, Ralph Bishop, Debbie Arnold. Already spoke. Okay. Chris Cheney and Tom Bellamore. All right.
Hi. My name is Sue Luft. My husband and I own a small hands-on vineyard east of Templeton. Our vineyard is SIP certified by the Central Coast Vineyard Team, and we've been enrolled in the irrigated ag waiver since 2004. The staff report indicates that some growers may not have enrolled in the conditional ag waiver. This indicates that the requirements of the current ag waiver should be enforced rather than placing additional regulatory burden on growers who are already complying with the program. In spite of the comments in the staff report, education does work and is absolutely necessary. I've attended numerous educational seminars for growers over the past few years and have watched farmers implement better practices. I find it disconcerting that this important element has been removed from the ag waiver program. My husband and I purchase nearly all of our food at the local farmers market, and the cost of complying with the proposed program would unfairly impact small growers like those who sell at our farmers markets. I ask that your board extend the current ag waiver and require the participants update their farm plans on a regular basis and complete a minimum number of continuing education units. In the meantime, I ask that your board direct staff to work with agriculture and the environmental community to develop a workable long-term program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Chris Cheney of Mesa Ranch Nursery in Rio Grande. And I have a bachelor's in science from Cal Poly in horticulture. I've worked for the largest wholesale nursery in the United States, Monrovia Nursery. Also was a sales rep for Monterey Bay Nursery for 9 years. Traveled the state, been to thousands of nurseries in my career. I currently have a Protea nursery in Rio Grande up on the Napomo Mesa. And I find that Well, I guess I should tell you what I do in my nursery first, then I want to comment on it. Because of what I raise, I'm able to really minimize the amount of fertilizers and sprays and herbicides that I use. I don't use herbicides in my nursery. I don't use liquid-soluble nitrates in much of what I do. It's negligible. It's probably down to 10 pounds a year of my operation. I use organic fertilizers. We do a lot of things by hand. We're very careful about our environment. I live on a property where we have a well, and we have to take showers in the water. I have an RO system on the sink because we have to drink it, and it was a strawberry farm before. But we're very careful how we conduct ourselves because I want to leave the land better than when I found it, because I know that I'm just a steward. We've done everything we could to comply with the current order that's been in effect. We have a weed buffer zone. We have irrigation on clocks. We do a lot of hand watering. We're very careful about it. And we also run on the mesa, so there's no runoff. We have no drainage. No water leaves the property except through the ground. When I read the waiver, the new proposal by the staff, I was really shocked because what it's telling me is that everything I've done isn't good enough, not even close. What I have to do now is create an impermeable flooring in my nursery. I have to have covering on my operations. Everything has to become basically a farming in a bubble. I find that the nursery suggestions, proposals are especially onerous, and there really isn't a single outside container nursery that will be able to comply with the order as it's written. So I want you guys to consider that there are ways to address water quality for the nursery industry without sticking to the proposals as you have them, requiring that basically we farm in a bubble, because that's going to create a whole other set of problems in terms of energy use and environmental concerns in terms of raising things inside greenhouses. And I can't even do that with most of our crops. So that's all I want to say.
Okay, thank you very much.
I got four pictures I'd like to show.
Someone that can help him, staff person.
Yeah, let's go to another speaker, and meanwhile we'll get him set up.
Get set up. Go ahead.
Board members, I apologize. I am out of turn, but there are some people here that have traveled a great distance, and if you wouldn't mind hearing from them before they have to leave, because they have to go back really far.
What's going on here?
Hello, okay, great. Well, good afternoon. My name is Susana De Anda. I am the co-director of the Community Water Center, and we're coming all the way from Tulare County, Region 5 for the Regional Water Board. And similar to our region, we're here to support staff's recommendation to truly start following the law. We too in the Central Valley rely heavily on groundwater, and our groundwater is heavily polluted. We too depend on agriculture for the local economy. And I brought a sample of our water bottles. We like to say that in ag, we produce a lot of crops, a lot of food, an array of crops, and we also have a production of different types of water quality. By far, we're seeing nitrate contamination in our homes, and many times our families are having to pay twice for water they cannot drink, and have to drive to purchase additional drinking water, in essence paying twice. We believe clean water is a basic right, and that should not be a privilege. Again, I think that Chairman and board members, I think that there's no choice. There's a mandate. You have to protect groundwater and surface water from contamination. So I think you're moving in the right direction, and we look to you as the model in our area. So thank you.
Thank you.
Buenas tardes. Yo soy la señora Esther Martínez. Vengo del condado de Tulare.
Good afternoon. My name is Esther Martinez, and I've traveled here from Tulare County.
Speak up. Speak
en
up.
En esta reunión he oído muchos comentarios y muchas preguntas, pero yo les pediría a ustedes de favor que algún día de ustedes pudieran ir a ese condado de nosotros que está muy contaminado.
So that as I observed today's meeting, I heard a lot of comments and I heard a lot of questions. But I would invite you to visit our county and see the water quality issues that are there.
En el condado de nosotros hay áreas o hay pueblitos que están contaminados con arsénico. Y principalmente donde yo vivo hay 80% de arsénico. Y ustedes saben realmente que el arsénico causa cáncer.
She said, for example, in my community, we have high levels of arsenic, and as perhaps some of you may know, that arsenic can cause cancer.
Hay mucha contaminación, y ojalá que esto, todo esto que estamos aquí hablando, que venimos de nuestro condado de tres horas de camino, que no es porque venga uno nomás a comentar, sino son cosas serias que nos han pasado a nosotros. Nosotros no podemos tomar el agua, nos cuesta, el costo es muy alto.
The reason why we traveled so far is because this is an issue that is very important to us, and we take this issue as a serious issue, because, like I said, in my community, we're unable to drink the water, and on top of that, we're forced to drive to neighboring places to purchase bottled water.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Maria Herrera, and I am the community outreach coordinator for the Community Water Center. But I always like to begin by saying that I'm also a lifelong resident of the Central Valley, and I too was raised there and come from farm worker parents. And I lived in a lot of these communities where we were unable to drink the water from the tap. And I just want to highlight that I heard a lot of comments today about the possible impacts that this new plan would have on agriculture, but I want to go back to some of the comments that were made earlier about the impacts that it has on rural communities. We heard a lot about families having to pay twice for water in order to keep their families safe, but there's also other kinds of impacts that we didn't talk about. For example, not having safe drinking water in a community also limits the way the community can grow. So many communities in the valley are forced not to grow or develop or bring any additional industry into the area, because who wants to begin their business in a community where there isn't good water and their infrastructure isn't good? Furthermore, it's not only our families or our communities, and by the way, I want to highlight that these families are some of the poorest communities of the state. There are farm worker families who, as we all can agree that agriculture is important and we all value that, but yet we need to remember that there are families there that pick these fruits and help us have these foods on our table. Last point that I want to make is that this is not only impacting our families, it's also impacting schools. Schools in our area aren't able to provide safe drinking water to the students and are forced to spend $500 in Seville. That school is forced to spend $500 to $600 a month just to provide safe drinking water. Money that the school is using on bottled water should be used for education purposes, and that is why we look to this board to ensure that you follow your mandate and you do create programs that are protective of our drinking water sources to ensure that this does not continue and that future generations can ensure that future generations can have access to safe drinking water. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Renee Moss, and I represent Food and Water Watch, a national consumer advocacy organization with thousands of members across the state, including here in the Central Coast. I am here to voice a strong support for the regulation of agricultural discharge. It is clear from the staff report earlier today and previous testimony that agricultural discharge is polluting our water, which has negative effects on human and ecological health, as well as forces all of us to pay for its cleanup. Now, no one is here to vilify the agriculture community. After all, I eat vegetables and I appreciate farmers. They make the food that I eat every single day. And there are a lot of farmers who are making good faith efforts to reduce their pollution. However, there are bad actors who are not reducing their pollution, because if they were reducing their pollution, then we wouldn't find ourselves in the situation today where we're seeing nitrate levels above those that are safe for human consumption. Now, I realize that this order before you is still in draft form and that we are taking in considerations from all different sides of the issue, and we do need something that farmers can comply with so that they can meet the goal. I know farmers do not want to hurt other people in their communities. However, two things that this recommendation must have are public accountability and enforcement. Specifically, all water quality related data must be public information with clear guidelines on how the information is going to be disseminated. If I'm going to have to pay to clean it up, I need to know what's in there. And the second thing is that there must be an enforcement plan that clearly defines the authority of who's going to enforce that, because if it's not enforced and if we don't have accountability, then bad actors will continue to act badly. Thank you.
Thank you. And what was your name again?
Renee Moss, Food
Renee
and Water Watch.
Renee Moss?
Yes.
Renee Moss. How is it that I don't have the speaker card in front of me for you?
What?
A speaker card.
There is a card.
There is? Okay. Did I call your name?
No,
you
did not call me.
Okay. All right. That's okay. Just wanted to figure out what. Okay. I have. Let me just go over one thing here. The folks in the back that just spoke, I have a number of cards I think that apply to you, and I just want to read off the names. Okay. Maria Herrera, did she speak? Okay. Rufina Morales, did she speak? No? Jesus Padilla? He didn't speak.
Earlier. I spoke this morning.
He spoke earlier.
He spoke earlier.
Yeah.
Desiderio Vallis? Didn't speak? Miriam Sanchez? Okay. Yeah. Renee Moss. Okay, fine. All right. Go ahead, sir.
My name's Daniel Diaz. They call me the Napomo Creek Dog. My concerns are the pollutants, of course, in our stream beds caused from nitrates and other chemicals that are used. I own a property that has the creek that runs right through it. I own both sides of the property that has that creek in it. We are responsible for our runoffs, regardless of what anybody's got to say. The pollutants are coming into my property. I have been flooded 4 times. We suffered greatly on account of this. The nitrates went right through my house and out my front door and back into the creek. This is a picture of the nitrate tubing that they use, the drip tape tubing that's already reached the ocean at the estuary in Guadalupe. And the brackish water you can see on the bottom picture. Next. One more picture. Okay, and this is discarded nitrate bags and different types of chemicals they use. The creek is only 13, 14 feet away from that area there. Next. Okay, now this is a nitrate drum turned over in our creek in Napomo on upper Delasegas Creek. And there's a nitrate bag right in the creek where I filmed it, right where it was laying when the water was running. That's one of the issues that go with this. Next. Okay, now this is the one that's going to get you. Okay, you're looking at the wellhead where these particular farmers are feeding the nitrate drums that you just seen turned over in the creek. This is where they fill them, and it pours right directly back into the creek. And here's the sad part about this whole thing, is one of your board members farm this land. He knows who he is. I don't need to say his name. You know who he is. I asked for this area to be tested. Has never been tested. There's no results coming off of this, what we're dealing with here, but yet it pours into our town. That's a wellhead on Hermerick Creek. Okay. And I want to know what's going on here. Are we really going to deal with these issues, or are we just going to keep throwing them on the back burner? That's my question to you.
Okay, can you wrap it up?
Okay, and this is the nitrate tubing coming through our town in Napomo, which went through this bridge hole here, which went to a 10-foot culvert hole at the men's club downtown Napomo and plugged. It was a 20-foot ball that plugged the 10-foot culvert, which backed up the water into our town in Napomo and flooded us massively, and then it blew itself through once it got the head pressure. And Fish and Game knows about it. The town of Napomo didn't know about it. I found that out through all my sources.
Okay.
What really happened. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, my name is Tom Bellamore. I'm president of the California Avocado Commission. The Avocado Commission represents about 850 growers who produce avocados on about 15,000 acres in your board's jurisdiction. Statewide, the commission represents 6,000 avocado farmers who are farming on about 60,000 acres. These growers have a strong record of environmental stewardship. They're highly efficient water users. They have to be at water prices of over $1,000 an acre foot, and they operate with minimal runoff. They're committed to making further water quality improvements. The commission has reviewed the draft order and shares, want to go on record as sharing concerns expressed by others about the scope of the farm plan, the proprietary nature of the information it contains and where the farm plan resides, the need for extensive on-farm monitoring rather than building on the cooperative monitoring program, the development of groundwater quality management plans and who should take the lead in that role, and concerns about redundancies when it comes to pesticide use reporting and monitoring. The commission also wants to go on record as supporting the California Farm Bureau Federation alternative proposal, and we support the idea of using the existing waiver as a baseline to build upon. When your board adopted the waiver in 2004, it was viewed as a model, and now avocado farmers up and down the growing region are closely watching it once again, but this time with the belief that staff has been overreaching. San Diego County Board just now implementing a program, as you know, and so all eyes on it. I would just urge the board to work toward establishing a long-term program that improves water quality and is workable for the grower. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. What?